This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is so good to be with you again this week on Angels Radio LA, Fox Sports Las Vegas, ESPN Richmond, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, ESPN South Jersey, 107.5 Alive, and Real Sports Atlanta. Our guest coming up is former Minnesota Vikings center, Baltimore Ravens center, Matt Burke. You'll hear from him. Matt is someone to me who is, he's not just a strong believer. He is relentless in his faith.
Oh, I like that.
And he's a guy who thinks outside the box. You'll hear him talk about a curriculum that he came up with, that his team put together, Pursuit Academy, and it's for fourth graders. And it's just the embodiment of thinking outside the box. And you have someone who's a strong man of faith. He was a phenomenal football player. Mm. Potential, he should be in the Hall of Fame one day. And he's a guy who is constantly giving back to the community, looking for ways to make the world around him better. And he's such a strong, he was a strong player, obviously, up front man as a center. You know how you got to block 300-pound guys, 320-pound guys. Like, you got to be physically strong. But he's mentally, when I see him now talking so outspoken about various topics, I see how strong he is mentally as well as much as he was physically. But thinking outside the box is something that I feel like we're called to do as Christians. And it's something that if we, and by that I mean, like, if we go with what the world values and we go with what people around us, and especially in this day and age, what everyone's telling you to do, what everyone thinks you should be doing, what everyone thinks should be acceptable, what everyone says, if we go along with worldly values, we're gonna fade away from our beliefs.
Yeah,
we're gonna go further and further away from what God has called us to do. We need to think outside the box, and in order to do that, you need different. You have to have vision. You have to have the way you want to attack something, the way you want to see it come to fruition.
It's kind of like Jesus when he was here. He was like deathly allergic to the box thinking.
In
the
box, way outside the box.
He was like, "What's the box? Let's smash it!" Like, he was not in. He was not into that. And you know what? That is the way we should live our lives. We should live our lives. Obviously adhering to whatever is going around us and all that good stuff, but at the same time, challenge things that are around us that don't serve us correctly or serve our faith or help us move forward or doing something that we're not called to do. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I feel like that is very important, especially in this day and age that we're living in. We really need to be outside of the box thinkers. We need to be outside of the box believers. We need to be outside of the box helpers. We need to be those people that challenge things to move in the right direction. We should not be moving backwards. We should not be moving just with the flow with people. Exactly. We should be, you know, us as Christians, we should be that fish that's swimming against the current. Because we are those people. We are the people that are challenging societies, with society's thinking or the society way of dealing with things. We need to be the people that do something different to show people, okay, this is how Christ did it. This is what he died for on a cross for. We're not supposed to just be, oh, whatever, go with the flow, do whatever we need to do just to get by and look the same and feel the same and do the same. And that's something I feel like I got so much challenged with, especially after moving to Florida, with the schooling system and everything. And I'm not knocking it down or anything, but I just did not like, for me, for our family, I did not like that. So that whatever that curriculum is he's working on, I want it for my kids because
they'll be in fourth grade next year.
Yeah, we're homeschooling right now because that was a decision that was best for us, for our family right now. And I feel like that's what God was calling us to do all along, but we just never really, I mean, me personally, I was so scared, but I stepped up and I just,
well, you're doing a great job with it. And while I'm seeing the kids
love
learn
it.
And grow, mm-hmm. especially after a year of doing virtual school where
that was awful.
It was very difficult sitting there with all these kids in a class, especially as second graders, and the teacher's got to watch out for everybody and who's saying, you know, who's muted, who's not muted, who's doing this. They're learning so much from you right now, and it's a beautiful thing to see, but it took outside-the-box thinking.
Right.
And then when we're talking about worldly values and where society is trending toward, and you see how many people are trying to get everyone to align with their views, and if you don't feel that way, you become your outcast, or they want to, or you're canceled, or you're criticized, or you're called this, that, or the other. When
I'm comfortable with that.
What's that?
I'm comfortable being called all that.
You have to be. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going. You have to be comfortable with being of the opposing view when, not just to be different, but when your view aligns with the biblical thought, when your view aligns with what Jesus Christ came here for, when our views are what he wants us to be, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to act, then we should be completely satisfied and content and fine with not conforming to what everyone else thinks of us. We can be, you know, Jesus says it in the Bible where he says, remember, if the world hates you, they hated me first.
Right. And I'm not like sitting here advocating for like homeschooling and like, don't get me wrong. Like I'm not putting
anything
on it.
It's not about that either.
But I'm saying everybody has a conviction in their heart. Whatever that conviction is, that's what you work on, and that's what that's the Holy Spirit convicting you to do something. This has been on our hearts for actually like, probably 2-3 years now. And we've been I would just research and talk to people and do this and do that. And then I back off at this last second. And then when we moved here and we tried everything, we tried private school, we tried public school, we tried everything. And I was like, maybe this is God pushing me. Really, this is my last push. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And when I did it, I felt like, whoa, this is what I was supposed to do all along. And I just refused to do it. So that was the conviction in my heart. So whatever conviction is in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit trying to move you in that direction. And that's the outside thinking that we're talking about. So you can say, oh, but everybody in my family is going to look at me weird. But everybody around me is going to do this. But everybody does this. It doesn't matter what everybody around you is doing. Mm-hmm. But the conviction in your heart is what's supposed to move you. That's the compass that is supposed to always move you. So if it's moving you one way or another, listen to it, because that's the Holy Spirit trying to guide you and guide your family. And what matters to me, personally, I care more about God and my family than anything else in life. So if God is speaking and it's helping my family, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or anybody says. That's just who I am.
We cannot be
concerned. And I'm that rebel sometimes. And I'm just like, this is me.
Yeah, and that's what we can't be concerned about. We can't be concerned about
fitting
in.
I'm never concerned about fitting in.
If you're going to be an outside-the-box thinker, if you're going to be a believer who is going to wear your faith on your sleeve and be outspoken about your faith and shine Christ's light everywhere we go, then we can't be concerned with fitting in, because fitting in, when you try and fit in with people, then you're going to live their lifestyle or try and act the way.
You're going to subscribe to their life.
Yeah.
And, or say if you like it that much, okay, but I don't.
And sometimes that's hard, because you might be in a group where everybody's. You ever have that when you're in a group and people are all talking or complaining about something and you don't necessarily feel that way? But the conversation comes to you, though, and you're like, okay, sure. And I find that sometimes, like,
it's called mirroring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In sports, like, sports writers were notorious for complaining about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, everything. There's always complaints. Like, no matter what. Like, you're getting paid to be at a freaking game. Just shut up and enjoy
it.
Because other people are paying to be there and you're getting paid because that's your job. And there's always complaints. There's constant complaints. And so sometimes I got to stop myself from complaining, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just going along with everyone else.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that because, no, I'm actually happy to be here. And yep. I'm happy and blessed to have this job. And I feel great. And why am I complaining? Just so I can go with
that,
the flow.
That happens with everything. Even if you're on social media and somebody like is doing something, you next thing you know, oh, yeah, I want to do it too. No, no, don't do it. Think for yourself. Before you do it, think for yourself. Think, is this going against your beliefs and your everything that you know? Or is it just that you're trying to fit in to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going with the flow with everybody else just to fit in.
And before I get to the break, I got to tell you, that's one thing I do love about you is your outside-the-box thinking. So
thanks, babe.
Up next, you'll hear from Matt Burke. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on most of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Matt Burke, was a six-time Pro Bowl center for the Minnesota Vikings and Baltimore Ravens. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in his last year in the NFL in 2012. Matt has done a ton of community work through his Hike Foundation, his newest venture, Pursuit Academy. Hear more about this curriculum in my conversation with Matt Burke.
Matt, tell me this. How does a sixth-round pick from Harvard end up becoming a six-time Pro Bowl center, one of the best players at that position for over a decade? What did it take, the hard work, the inspiration, the determination for you to reach that point?
Well, it was, yeah, it was all that, but it was just the perfect situation. You know, I'm from Minnesota, grew up rooting for the Vikings. So to be drafted by them, I'm sure you get drafted by anybody, it means a lot and you want to succeed. But with the Vikings, I felt like it meant a little bit more. I was back home with my support staff or my support people, you know, my parents, my brothers, my friends, people that loved me and supported me through thick and thin. And then with the Vikings, you know, when I got there in 1998, they had three or four Pro Bowl offensive linemen and a great offense. They didn't need me to play right away. And so I essentially got to sit back for 2 years and, you know, watch guys like Jeff Christie and Randall McDaniel and Todd Stussy and Corey Stringer, just to see, you know, how they go about their business. I got to watch some of the best guys in the league play. I got to lift weights. I got to go against John Randall every day in practice. And so it was just a great situation where, you know, everything was kind of fell into place for me, and it gave me the best chance for success, and it worked out.
You're on the list for Pro Football Hall of Fame nominees, the preliminary list. What would that honor mean to you, Matt, to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, you know, from a football standpoint, you know, it would mean everything, right? I mean, you look at the guys who are in the Hall of Fame, and it's amazing. I got fortunate to play with a lot of those guys, and I knew how good they actually were. You know, for me though, right, it's like you just said, sixth round draft pick out of nowhere, got to play a long time, got to win a Super Bowl. I mean, my career already so far exceeded any expectations. You know, if I could have written a Hollywood story, it wouldn't have turned out as good as my career did. So, you know, I don't feel like I'm owed nothing or anything's incomplete, but, you know, but if that were to happen, it would be unbelievable.
You played a ton of games. You played in a ton of playoff games. You just mentioned how good the Vikings were when they drafted you in 98, 15-1. We know how that ended up. End up your career in Baltimore, winning a Super Bowl with the Ravens, and then you walk away. What sticks out to you as the biggest highlights? Is it obviously those two particular seasons, the Vikings and getting to the NFC title game at 15-1, the Ravens winning the Super Bowl? Are there other team achievements that you look at and say those were moments that were some of the best, most impactful of my career?
I mean, yeah, those are two great teams I got to play on. You know, that Baltimore team, we lost a heartbreaking game the year before to New England in the AFC Championship game at New England. The following year, we get to go back there and we beat them pretty soundly, you know, got to avenge that loss. That was a special moment. Yeah, I look back, some of these things that they're not going to show up in record books, or they're not going to do any TV specials on these. But 1 year in Minnesota, we were 8-8, snuck into the playoffs, and then had to go to Green Bay, who beat us twice that year, our arch rival. And we beat them pretty soundly in the playoffs on their field at Lambeau. You know, growing up a Vikings fan, Packers, I mean, that was pretty special as well, even though we lost the next week. But it's those moments, you know, it's those moments that you really look back on. It's hard to kind of put into your mind what a long career is, you know. I mean, and as the years go by, it becomes more distant. You know, I don't know, but I remember those moments on the sidelines, in the locker room, you know, on the bus rides, on the plane rides, celebrating with the teammates. I remember those specific moments in time, and those are great memories.
You retired after winning that Super Bowl. You were 36 at the time. I believe you had a couple years left on your contract. You hadn't missed a game in 7 seasons, so it's not that injuries were accumulating. Matt, what made you walk away at that time, and now looking back several years later, any regrets?
I thought about for a long time come back. I remember I called up Harbaugh once, and John, we talked for like an hour, and he's like, "So what'd you decide?" And I said, "Oh, I haven't decided yet. I don't know." I mean, I really wanted to come back because winning it was so much fun, and I know defending it was going to be an even harder challenge. But yeah, I love John Harbaugh. I love the guys I played with. I thought it would just be fun to try to feel that mountain with them. But at the end of the day, you know, played 15 years. I was healthy. At the time, I had 6 kids at home. I thought, you know, it's just time. The right thing to do. You know, count your blessings. Don't push your luck. It's time to go home and be there more, and you know, be a better husband, and be more present as a father. And so that's what I decided to do. And, you know, so of course I don't regret that because of the reasons why I made that decision.
Speaking of John Harbaugh, what the Ravens are going through this year, so many injuries, yet they find a way to persevere. To me, it speaks to the culture that John has created in Baltimore, that next man up mentality, that it doesn't matter what's happening all around us, we're just going to go out there and win. How impressed have you been seeing the Ravens go out there and have success so far early in the season, despite all those injuries?
Very impressed, but not completely surprised, because like you just said, that's the culture that John Harbaugh breeds. And it's not just words. Everybody says that, but having been there for 4 years, that's exactly how it is. The expectation is the expectation, no matter who's in there. I remember when I signed with the Ravens, you know, John said, pride ourselves on working harder than everybody else. And I thought, well, okay, everybody says that. I think that's true out there. You know, to be a Raven, that brand, that identity, it's about grinding. It's about being tough, you know, physically tough, but also mentally tough. And I think you've seen that, you know, through the first couple weeks of the season, just how mentally tough these Ravens are.
You played with other great coaches, Dennis Green, some great players from Ray Lewis, Adrian Peterson. You mentioned John Randall. Matt, who were the guys who helped make you not a better player on the field, but maybe a better person, a better dad, a better husband, a better father, better everything that you take with you the rest of your life?
That's a great question, Rob. You know, when I was in Minnesota, our offensive line, we were kind of a bunch of misfit toys, if you will, a bunch of, for the most part, late round draft picks, you know, guys that had to scratch and claw, guys like Corey Withrow, Chris Lewinsky, Mike Rosenthal. And, but we're all kind of the same. We're all about the same age, you know, married, young kids. And, we're all just, you know, we're all trying to figure it out together. Right. And, I don't know. We had some, you know, conversations about that, but I think for the most part, it was just being with each other every day, knowing that we were all striving for the same thing, you know, trying to do our jobs well, trying to be at home and be good husbands and good fathers and you know, just inspiring each other by our example, and also being accountable to each other, because knowing, you know, this was sort of became our identity as our group. You know, we prided ourselves on being right way guys. And that wasn't just with football. That was just with everything. And, you know, I mean, a football team is a football team, and it's a cohesive unit. But inside of that, you know, you've got your position group. You know, I spent 90% of my time with just the offensive linemen. And so you become pretty close. And that's really, you know, that group of guys helped form me as a player, but more importantly, as a man.
Matt, throughout your career, you were a man of service. You were always doing work in the community. You were honored with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and you've continued doing that, giving back now in your post-retirement career. Tell me about what you're doing with Pursuit Academy and the curriculum that you've developed for kids.
Yeah, so Pursuit Academy, we've done it in middle school, we've done it in high school, but kids are growing up so fast these days, and we wanted to get it to them even earlier. So fourth grade is really the first key transitional point in a child's education career. And I mean, you know, here's kind of the premise is that, you know, we know that kids these days, their mental health is not good compared to other generations. You know, we say kids are stressed, depressed, exam obsessed, and social media possessed. And so what Pursuit Academy really does is it really teaches kids how to be entrepreneurs of their own lives. You know, life doesn't go in a straight line. There's going to be all sorts of things, you know, twists in the road, adversity. And, you know, I think really, you know, education is designed to help kids have a great life. It's not just about getting into college. Of course, you know, they need to learn basic skills. But Pursuit Academy, we have six skills that we think every child needs to learn that kids these days aren't necessarily learning naturally, like maybe you and I did when we grew up, because kids are such digital creatures. I mean, these have things to do with like being an architect of your future, you know, dreaming and envisioning what you're going to become, how to teach other people, you know, how to develop a mindset that, you know, other people really do matter. And so it's really not I call it the anti-curriculum. It's not a curriculum. It's just it's a program that's really delivered via a learning management system on a video that's really easy to integrate for any teacher, just a couple minutes a day. And, it's something that, you know, we believe so strongly in that we've developed it, and it's free to any fourth grade class that's out there, because we just feel like this is really important to get in the hands of kids and educators, as kids try to find their way in this, you know, sometimes crazy world.
So you said it's free for any fourth grade classroom teachers out there. How can they get access to it, Matt? Is it something that it's just able to download right there and then show in the classroom on a computer?
You can sign up with us. I mean, this is our pilot year. So you can reach out to me at mattburkincompany.com and we can get you, we can get any fourth grade teacher set up. And, you know, again, we think this is part of the solution. You know, we don't think it's the solution. I'm not a professional educator, although we do have professional educators who have put this together, but this is our offering, and we want to put it out there this year. And we want to get feedback. And, you know, ultimately it's just about the kids. It's just about helping kids. All of us have had somebody or multiple people in our life who helped us, you know, get to where we are. And, you know, now, you know, as adults, we're at that point where you look at kids and you look at mental health in this country. And I don't think it's an overstatement to say that we have a mental health crisis in our country. And so we're just trying to help.
Matt, I want to hear also a little bit about, because you've done work with kids throughout for almost two decades now. You established the Hike Foundation, Hope, Inspiration, Knowledge, and Education to impact children by providing interactive programs and resources for them. So what inspired you way back in 2002 to want to help in that way, to serve in that way?
You know, I remember Denny Green, my first coach, he was so great. He said, you know, Tuesdays are community days. He was first Tuesday of the year, and he said, for those of you that are new, we get out and we do stuff in the community. And so they sent me to a school, and I was just kind of amazed by the reception. I mean, I was a nobody, but the fact that I played for the Vikings, the kids dug it. And so I just thought, man, this is unbelievable. And education is part of my story. You know, I went to Harvard. I wasn't recruited by any big time colleges. So the fact that I was a pretty good student, because teachers and my parents and other adults took an interest in me and made sure I was getting my schoolwork done, actually helped prolong my football career. I don't know if I would have made it to the NFL had I not been a good student. And so that was just kind of my message, right? And I just thought, man, you have such a platform when you play in the NFL that I just wanted to maximize it. So we formed our own foundation, and, you know, really proud of the work that we did over the last 20 years. And again, it's just really all about trying to see what the needs are of kids and teachers and help them out, because everybody's, you know, busy and everybody has financial constraints and all these things. But, you know, just ultimately trying to bring smart solutions to people and be part of the solution, and not just be part of the problem, and not just sit around and complain about it.
Matt, how has your faith impacted everything you do, not throughout your career only on the field, but the man you are, the dad you are, the husband that you are, the person you are, your friend you are?
I mean, I just say it's everything, you know? I mean, I try to keep God at the center of my life, of everything I do. You know, my marriage, as a father, as a friend, as business, you know, everything. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs in life. And, you know, to me, it just really doesn't make sense if God's not at the center. And that's when things tend to go awry for me. You know, we all have to remember, we're all so busy and so distracted these days, but it's good to remind yourself every single day that you are going to die one day. And, you know, there has to be more than this. There's a lot of historical proof that says that there's more than this. And so, you know, when you view life through that lens, you know, with that context, and keep God at the center of it, try to discern, you know, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for me in this situation? You know, then it makes sense. And, you know, the thing I love about my faith is that it brings dignity, to suffering. And it also brings some sense to suffering. You know, part of the thing is with social media, I think we all think that life is supposed to be just, you know, a highlight reel, just one great, amazing thing after another. And that's not true. That's not life. And so, you know, like I said, my life tends to work best when God's in the middle of it. And, I can kind of get over myself, if you will, and put God first and put others first before me. And that's really the essence of the Christian life.
I love how you said God is the center, God in the middle, because a lot of times we hear God, family, football, but if you have them in a priority order, 1, 2, 3, sometimes those priorities get messed up and then something will leapfrog over God. But when he's in the center, then he's in the middle of everything. So the way you said that, I think is beautiful and a great reminder, Matt, for everybody, man. So thank you. I appreciate this conversation. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rob. Talk again soon.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Matt Burke. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, and Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes mornings simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.